So Job, you know, you've heard the pastor often state how he hates to hear, let alone preach, messages on Job. And as you go through it, it just can get so personal to each one of us. You know, in the situations we've been in or going through and loved ones going through. And so Job's a tough lesson, but I think that's why it's in the Bible. Amen? It's there to give us the example and how to respond and how to deal with that. The Word of God in Matthew 5:45 states that rain falls both on the just and the unjust. Good example out there today. We all got rained on. Doesn't matter how just you are this morning, how righteous you are, we had some rain hit us as we came outside. And in our heads, we know this to be true. You know, we know everybody suffers. But sometimes in our hearts, we have different expectations. You know, we tend to think that we do what's right, everything will go right. You know, we've heard that a lot. I'm doing everything right. I heard pastors say, you know, he was doing everything right. So why does God let us suffer? You know, we question that. It just doesn't resonate very well that we can do all this stuff and feel like we're pretty good, which is half the problem right there, thinking that maybe we've arrived. But, you know, it's easy to ask, why, God? Why? I'm doing everything right. You know, until you say, aren't I? And he tells you that, no, not necessarily. Well, that's an appealing thought, but it's not a biblical truth. Because of our false expectations, we sometimes question God unjustly. God does not promise that things will always go well. You know, we've said that a lot here, and you've heard that. But he does promise his unfailing grace through the trials, and that he goes through them with us. Alfred Edersheim wrote, quote, "We cannot understand the meaning of many trials. God does not explain them. To explain a trial would be to destroy its object, which is that of calling forth simple faith and implicit obedience," unquote. In other words, if he explained it all to us, we'd understand. And, you know, that kind of takes away. What he wants is just faith and obedience. You know, trust and obey. You know, tough words, but so true. In the annals of Scripture, there was no one who was more tested and tried than Job. Job went through the furnace, that's for sure. J. Sitlow Baxter added this, quote, "The theme of Job is blessing through suffering," unquote. Blessing through suffering. James 5:11 declares, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job." So even much later in the New Testament, writers, you know, mentioned the patience of Job and got through it. So without a doubt, there is much we can learn from the life of this great man, Job. So let's look at Job's number one testimony. Let's look at his testimony. It's been said, one ought to live his life in such a way that the pastor can tell the truth at the funeral. I like that. You know, we've all been to funerals when you kind of wonder about some of that stuff, right? And that's a good one. Live our life so that he can say the truth. Another one said, live your life in such a way that your family would not be ashamed to sell your parrot to the town gossip. Yeah, you know, parents like to repeat things just like the town gossip. Let's not give them too much ammunition, people. Don't give them ammunition. A.W. Tozer, a great pastor and author, said that we may be known by the following seven things. Number one, what we want most. What do we desire most? Number two, what we think about most. Number three, how we use our money. Tells a lot about us. Number four, what we do with our leisure time. How do we spend our time? Number five, the company we enjoy. You know, who do we enjoy spending time with? You know, I love spending time with church family. Amen. Not so much my biological brother is family, because that would mean I'm hanging out in the bars with him, you know. And, yeah, he's a nice guy. I love him, but You know, that's not my thing to enjoy. Yes. And we need to enjoy the company we keep. Yeah. And it affects us. You see that so much, you know, with kids. You know, those peer groups, you see great parents, at least everything we see, and, you know, they go to school, and, you know, some of those teachers, let alone classmates, and just, I don't know, too much corruption going on, and danger nowadays, unfortunately. Anyway, didn't mean to get off on that. Number six, who and what we admire. Who do we look up to? Who do we want to emulate? You know, Jesus should be number one, that's for sure. All right. And number seven, what we laugh at. You know, we shouldn't thoroughly enjoy the off-color jokes that some of the workplaces tell. You know, we need to guard ourselves. We need to be aware of you know, just how we present ourselves and what we react to in all these things. In Job chapter 1, we see what God said about Job. Again, we think, you know, I'm good. God should bless me. I've been good. But Job, we'll see, was, letter A, perfect and upright. Job was perfect and upright. There on your worksheet, Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Wow. So God's word itself tells us Job was perfect and upright. According to Strong's lexicon, perfect and upright here are synonymous in this passage. Job was literally given a life that was based on upright, living a life that was based on upright decisions. Decisions that were not simply upright before the world, but they were upright before God. God acknowledged he was living an upright and righteous life. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was famous for one of many pithy phrases. Among them was a simple and powerful instruction, quote, do right, unquote. Yeah. Pretty short and simple, do right. It made me think, you know, a lot of us my age grew up with Dudley Do Right. I think kind of hit me, and maybe they were using scripture to come with up that name, you know, just, or Bob Jones anyway, just do right. You know, that was a Rocky and Bullwinkle show, you know, and the Canadian mounted police guy. Anyway, he just always easygoing, but did right. That's our instruction. Well, Job was a man who did right. The most powerful thing about the recording of Job's life of righteousness was that this testimony was given by God himself. Wouldn't you love to have said about you by God that he was righteous? And upright, wow. Well, that's something to aspire to. The inspired word of God tells us that Job, letter B, feared God. He feared God. Same verse, Job 1:1, going a little further. There's a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God. And that same verse, because he feared God, lets us know, throughout the scriptures, the concept of fearing God deals with respecting God and his position. You know, a little respect for the man. Job certainly had a holy respect for God. He understood and clearly stated throughout this book that God was the creator of the universe, and that he had all power, and that God could be trusted. God wants his creation to fear him and to respect him for who he is and what he can do. We've seen him do some mighty stuff, even in our lifetimes. And, you know, we ought to have a little healthy fear, but especially respect. You know, and you usually have taught that the fear a lot of times just means respect, but a lot of times respect has a little healthy fear behind it. If I'd instill a little healthy fear in my son growing up, you know, and that can pay off. Done in love, of course. That's right. Well, Job did this, and God was pleased. And then letter C, he eschewed evil. Eschewed evil, which means deliberately avoided. Deliberately avoided evil. Job 1:1 again. On the third emphasis, there is a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and eschewed evil. He deliberately avoided it. So finally there, the Lord tells us that Job was a man who hated evil. God's plan for the believer is to love righteousness and flee from evil. The world wants us to toy with evil, wants us to experiment with evil, and wants us to laugh at evil. But God wants us to hate it. He wants us to hate evil. Stay away from it. There's three more verses there on your worksheet that talk just about this very thing. Psalm 97:10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. And then Hebrews 1:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And I just had this picture of standing there and having a picture of blessings poured over your head, the oil of gladness. You know, that's what God wants to do for us, is to, just to pour out that gladness, the true joy we can have in only living under his righteousness and for him. And then God tells us, although we are in the world, we are not to be of the world. There's 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise God. You know, and it is indeed a short life. You know, we feel like we might be missing out on some fun or some good laughs, but boy, nothing's worth missing out on the eternity that awaits us. I mean, we do not want to go down that road. Well, we know that Job went through trials. We know that. We've seen that and studied that before. Trials reveal the depth of a person's character and his love. There's a story here of the Willis family. It's a beautiful illustration of a family coming through the most extraordinary of trials and yet finding peace and sufficiency in God. So this is where I'd encourage you to keep the Kleenex close by. I'll try to read through this story. It was about 28 years ago. Some of you might remember this as we go through it. Pastor Duane Scott Willis and his wife Janet, it's a picture of their family here, loved their 9 children, dearly loved their 9 children that God had given them. But at mid-morning on November 8th, 1994, a fiery auto explosion on I-94 in Milwaukee claimed the lives of their 6 youngest children. Within hours, the freak accident had made national and international headlines. And I looked some of this up and, you know, just to kind of make sure. And the crazy thing is, the really sad thing is it turned out the governor of Illinois actually went to prison because of what was left on the highway due to some corruption and a drug-running truck that lost a bumper type thing. I mean, just terrible, terrible story. Well, from behind guarded hospital doors came good news concerning Scott and Janet. Their physical recovery from first and second degree burns would be complete. However, the most astonishing recovery became apparent as Scott and Janet displayed their emotional and spiritual stability. Milwaukee, the nation, and even the world looked on in amazement as 8 days after the accident, the bereaved couple explained to the media, how they could make it through such a sudden and horrific tragedy. The following statements are excerpts from that news conference. So again, national TV, 8 days after this. And I saw pictures. They're still got burns and stuff, you know, in their hair, and terrible pictures. But here's what they had to say. Our God, our praise. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Janet and I want to praise and thank God. There is no question in our minds that God is good, and we praise Him in all things. God is a great God. Talks about their trial, the accident. As far as the accident is concerned, I was looking at the road and was alert. Our little baby was behind us. Ben was behind us on the other side. In the back were the other four children. They were all buckled in. I saw the object, a metal brace, 6 inches by 30 inches, weighing about 30 pounds. I thought it was one of those blocks that maybe came off a flatbed truck. The car in front of me swerved, and I knew I couldn't miss hitting the object. I thought if I took it on the tire, I might roll the car. So it was a split-second decision. When we hit the object, the rear gas tank exploded, taking the car out of control. I was able to grip the wheel and take the car out of the slide. When we were sliding and the flames were coming around the seat, it was a shock, a surprise, like, what is this? It was just roaring flames coming up on both sides. I was yelling to get out of the car. Janet and I had to consciously put our hands into the flames to unbuckle the seat belts and reach for the door handles. Janet fell out the door while the car was still moving. Benny was in the midst of the burning. His clothes were mostly burned off by the time he got out. The five youngest children, who had been asleep, died instantly. No sound was heard by Janet or me as we struggled to get out of the van. An unknown man took his shirt off his back to soak Benny's wounds, and another beat out the burning clothes on Janet's back. Benny died in intensive care around midnight. He talks about their children and their pain. We believe children are a heritage of the Lord. We thank God for six precious children. Four rascally boys, a sweet girl, so much like her mother, and a little baby just beginning to smile and grow. We understood that they were given of the Lord. Told you I wouldn't make it. And we understood they weren't ours. They were His. And we were stewards of those children. And so God took each of them back. He is the giver and taker of life. We must tell you that we hurt and sorrow as you parents would for your children. The depth of pain is indescribable. The Bible expresses our feelings that we sorrow, but it's not as though without hope. Wow. Going on to explain their confidence in God's word. Final comments were, what gives us our firm foundation for our hope is the Bible. The truth of God's word assures us that Ben, Joe, Sam, Hank, Elizabeth, and Peter are in heaven with Jesus Christ. We know, based upon the word of God, where they are. Our strength rests in the word of God. The Bible is sure and gives us confidence. Everything God promises is true. Wow. Quite the story of faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can all learn. And it's just, so close to Job's story, you know, in today. And I know a lot of you have suffered that very same thing, or maybe even going through now. I've even said at a funeral, parents aren't supposed to lose children. You know, it's not the natural way of things. And it's just so sad to read a story, but to encouraging to see such faith just 8 days later that they could do that. Well, as I Googled that, and you can do that, it's the Willis family, I wanted to share that much like Job, I found a video of one of the surviving sons, married his high school sweetheart, and deliberately and planned had 12 children of their own. And we got a little video, it's kind of a short lesson, so I thought, well, the real fun and interesting story of what follows this couple and their faith. So, Native, those on live streaming, we can't play this. We'll put up a picture of the family that's singing. We'll be back live in 4 minutes, but For those, it's just a wonderful testimony of the grace of God. And I really enjoyed this video. Well, you'll see in the video. So, Nate, if you'd play that, and live streamers, so stay on for four more minutes.
We are a 12-piece band, and we're all siblings.
And we are the Willis Clan.
That's my nose.
All right, here we go, guys.
How do you guys shower? Like, you get ready in the morning.
I'm pretty sure it's just like everyone else. We just have to try and go as fast as possible because there's only four showers.
Wow.
You're going to do a great job? Give me a five. All right.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
How many people are up here? 12. Right now?
Well, there's 12.
Are you guys a family? Are you all in this? You are? All of you are brother and sister.
Any twins in there?
Nope, no twins.
I'm Jessica. I'm 21.
Yeah, and what's your name?
I'm Jeremiah, and I'm 20.
I'm Jenny. I'm 19.
Jenny.
19, whoa. 20, 21.
I'm Jeanette. I'm 17.
I'm Jackson, and I'm 15.
I'm Jedi, and I'm 14.
Jedi? Yoda? No. Go ahead. Yes.
I'm Jasmine, and I'm 12.
I'm Juliet, and I'm...
Juliet.
10.
I'm Jamie, and I'm about to be 9.
9. Congratulations.
I'm Joy, and I'm 7.
I'm Jake, and I'm 4.
Wow.
I'm Jake, and I'm 3.
Oh! You're adorable. So what do you got? I take it you're a musical family, you're a band?
Yeah, you know, we do a ton of stuff and we do it all together. We do music and dance and singing, and I want to just have a good time showing that for you guys today.
I'm just going to assume a few things right away. First of all, your mother must be exhausted. Is that accurate?
She's super mom.
Super mom.
Yeah.
And you know, you remind me, do you guys remember the Partridge Family?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know they used to tour around on a bus. Is that your gig?
Well, we're hoping to upgrade to a bus right now. We have a 15-passenger van. There's not much room for all the instruments.
I am praying to God that you guys are great. Are you a good-looking family or what?
Thank you.
Wow. I mean, really, every kid is better looking than the next.
Howard.
It is the polar opposite of my family, which were known around town as the Munsters. No. You've never seen anyone like me where you're from, have you?
Just come on, wave to Uncle Howie.
I'm gonna go that way.
Oh.
There you go. All right, I'm very excited to see you guys. Give it all you got.
All right.
And best of luck.
Yeah.
The Willis Clan. Season 9 now. Now we're on to something.
Man, that great story. The other thing that you find out is that that this family themselves, a few years before, lost their entire house to a fire. Wow. They were able to get all the kids out, but lost their first home to a fire. Just incredible. what people can survive with God's help. And I just thought that was just too good an example to pass up with that. And again, reminds me of Job's family, because Satan was permitted by God to put Job through trials in three different areas: financial trials, family trials, and physical trials. First, Job had on your worksheet there, letter A, financial trials. Job 1, 13 through 17 there tells us, "And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and only am I escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Wow. Pretty much lost all his belongings right there. Financial hardship. The first area where Satan attacked Job was in his finances. There was a time when Job had want of nothing. He was very possibly the richest man in the world. In one day, it was all gone. Between the fire, the Sabians, and the Chaldeans, Job found his financial wealth completely destroyed. There was not enough to cause Job to stop loving and serving his God, but the story goes on. You know, look at that. And it just, you know, I talk to a lot of people all the time that, you know, with what's going on in the world and the economy, that it could all be gone. Well, it's true. It could be. And that's something that is still one of the realities that we're living in and that Job lived in. Next, there were Job's family trials. Job 1, verses 18 and 19. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. The second attack on Job came through the loss of his family. It is incomprehensible to think of a tornado hitting a home and killing all of one's children. Yet this is what happened to Job. Still, through this great trial, he remained faithful. Job knew that his faithfulness to God could not depend on his well-being of others. He knew he personally was responsible to serve God. Job maintained his faith, but Satan wasn't through yet. And Satan brought Job his own personal physical trials. There on the worksheet, Job 2, 7 through 10. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Wow. Quite the incredible story of strength and faith from Job. After devastating Job's finances and his family, Satan moved to take Job's health. The pain of the boils and ultimately the rejection of his wife must have been unbelievably difficult. However, God gives us a statement that is a testimony to Job's life and a challenge to every Christian today. In all this did not Job sin with his lips. In all that, Job refused to sin with his lips. So, in the end then, we see Job's triumph. I'm glad to end on better news after all that. It's not unusual to see what happens as tragedy to those around us turn into triumph through the power of our great God. God uses trials and tribulations to shape us, as a sculptor uses a hammer and chisel to shape the stone, or as a potter uses kneading and pressure and heat to make bowls and vases. True quality does not come quickly, easily, or cheaply. Things that are truly valuable often require much time and work for their production. Examples are handcrafted watches, handmade shoes, or the work that goes into a Steinway piano. The Steinway piano has been preferred by keyboard masters such as Rachmaninoff, Horowitz, Van Cliburn, and Liszt, and for good reason. It is a skillfully crafted instrument that produces phenomenal sound. Steinway pianos are built today the same way they were over 150 years ago. Henry Steinway started his business then. 200 craftsmen and 12,000 parts are required to produce one of these magnificent instruments. Most crucial is the rim bending process, where 18 layers of maple are bent around an iron press to create the shape of a Steinway grand. 5 coats of lacquer are applied and hand rubbed to give the piano its outer glow. The instrument then goes to the pounder room, where each key is tested 10,000 times to ensure quality and durability. We followers of Jesus Christ are also being handcrafted. We are pressed and formed and shaped to make us more like Him. We are polished, sometimes in the rubbing of affliction, until we glow. We are tested in the laboratory of everyday human experience, just getting through the days sometimes, their craftiness. The process is not always pleasant, but we can persevere with hope, knowing that our lives will increasingly reflect the beauty of holiness to the eternal praise of God. We can just show some of that off when He's done rubbing us. Think about it. Is God bending, shaping, or polishing me, polishing you right now? What's my attitude? Am I thanking and praising God, or am I complaining about the process? Well, first we need to have letter A, enlightenment. Enlightenment. It's what I would call an aha moment. You know, all of a sudden, I get it. Finally, aha. Job 42, verses 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. There's his aha moment. Now he sees. The last verse. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I'm really not as good as I thought I was. Job was enlightened, which means that he learned from the trials he endured. One of the saddest things that can happen is for someone to endure trials without gaining knowledge from them. God's word says that one of the ways that we can gain wisdom is through the reproofs of life. You know, sadly, and we see it often, you know, if we don't learn our lesson, we tend to repeat our mistakes or repeat what's going on. You know, we try to do it in our own power. That's what can happen. If we learn God's lesson, He wants to spare us at least a repeat of that. On your worksheet, Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It's the way things are as we go through life. Let's learn our lessons. We must ensure that we, like Job, will seek enlightenment from our trials. God allows trials for a reason. and a wise man will learn from the reproofs of life. And but then comes the enrichment. Praise God. Job 42, 12 and 13 there then. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses, and had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. God replaced it all and even more. He was enriched again. God's ways we don't understand, but they're so much better than man's ways. When the story of the trials of Job was finally completed, we discover in the end God gave him 10 more children, and that God blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Job remained faithful and lived to see God's vindication and blessing. We can be assured of the fact that we too can receive enrichment from the Lord when we remain faithful to him. That's our challenge this morning. And like this picture of that family again, and just the next generation, just exciting to see what God can bring out of tragedy. And they were blessed, and they bless us with their story this morning, just as Job's story does. Job was a man who endured tremendous trials, and yet through them all, he remained faithful to his God. It is interesting to note that Christians today seem ready to walk away from their faith if someone merely mocks them at work. And Job was not this type of man. He had a wonderful testimony, and he endured his trials, displaying that, which ultimately led him to reaching a triumph and great blessing of the Lord. The life of Job is a challenge to every believer today to live in a holy and God-pleasing manner, no matter what trials may come. Let's pray. Father God, we do just thank you again this morning for this lesson on Job and of enduring trials. Oh God, we look forward to your return and just your blessings on being able to do that. I pray, Lord, for the strength to get through the trials that we all go through and have suffered in the past and will suffer in the future. Lord, that we would remain faithful. Don't let anything that goes on and the news we read or whatever may happen shake that faith. We need to stand strong, stand together, Lord, and even later as the pastor preaches on the lies that are out there and certainly being told to us today, that we can stand with your enablement. We pray for that this morning, Lord, that you would just, again, strengthen us, help us to endure, help us to keep our testimony. Help us live a life that would be a testimony to others, that others would seek you out. Lord, if there's any this morning that are watching that do not know you as their personal Savior, I would pray that they would just reach out to someone here this morning to find out how they can come to know you and have the assurance of a wonderful and blessed eternity. So, Lord, just be with us all today as we go through and help us to remember and just love you for the work you are doing in our lives, even when it's painful. We thank you for that and ask a blessing on the service to come as well. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So next week, we have Samson and wasted potential. So, Samson's one of those, when we're growing up watching TV, he was one of our heroes. But when you read his story, a lot of wasted potential there. But so that'll be another hard lesson for us, but a good one. So.